Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Movie Chatter. Tonight, we are going to be discussing Halloween movies. Not Halloween specifically. Well, yeah, also Halloween specifically. Not Halloween the movie series specifically, and not Halloween the holiday specifically, but both of those, and also horror movies and all kinds of wonderful things. I'm Eric, and I'm joined tonight by Robin and Lou. Robin, how are you doing?
I'm good.
All right. I heard you had a wonderful experience with one of our movies we're going to be covering next week, and I can't wait to discuss that and to see whether Tim is still on speaking terms with me.
Tim and I are not speaking, so you might not be speaking with him either.
Okay, that's good to know. For more information on that, be sure to tune in to the next episode. We'll get to that in a little bit. Lou, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing great. In fact, I just texted Tim and say, "Hey, I heard you up early this morning." And I just got a good back. So, I'm doing great. I apologize that we can't do the movies we were planning tonight because I didn't do my homework. I thought we were doing something different. But plus, I confused a movie too. I thought we were doing a movie that I had seen, and I was going to rewatch it. Then I realized I'm like, this isn't even remotely familiar. What is this movie? So it's something I haven't seen yet.
And the funny thing is, the movie you picked instead, thinking it was that movie, is somewhat similar. So what we are going to do is something similar to what we did last year, and that is to go over horror movies for people who aren't really that into horror movies in celebration of the month of October and Halloween. And this year, we are going to cover some that slipped through the cracks last year. We are going to cover... Dark City isn't really a horror movie, though there are elements of it there, and it didn't really know what it wanted to be, but we're going to cover that. We're also going to cover 1408, one of my all-time favorite horror movies. We'll see if my co-hosts agree, starring John Cusack, based on a Stephen King short story. We are going to be covering Zombieland in celebration of Zombieland 2, which is coming out very soon. And I don't know, we might be able to squeeze one or two more in there as well. But this week, we are going to talk about horror movies in general, what we like about them, what we don't, Halloween movies that aren't necessarily horror movies. And, you know, Lou, 1408 mm-hmm. was the one that you were referring to that we didn't get to, that you didn't, you thought you had seen before and hadn't.
Yeah.
And this is starring John Cusack, and it's about, it's a twist on a haunted house story. It's a haunted hotel room, but you...
Don't spoil it.
That's not a spoiler. It's right there on the back of the DVD. Lou, however, you were thinking of Identity, which is also another John Cusack horror movie that takes place at a hotel, well, a motel.
Motel, yeah.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I had it in my mind. I'm like, I have seen that. And I enjoyed it. I like John Cusack. I like the movie. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay, I'll brush up and watch it again. And I started playing 1408. And I'm like, wait a minute. This doesn't even look familiar at all.
Very different. Yeah.
And I looked it up and started reading some descriptions. I'm like, oh, no, I haven't seen this at all.
Yeah. Did you like Identity? Is it something we should cover?
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen it, but I really enjoyed it.
I liked it when it came out. And now I wonder if it holds up.
Yeah, I haven't seen it since it was out.
And I predict Robin will hate it.
Well, it's got a decent cast.
It does.
It's got Cusack, Ray Liotta, Amanda Peet, Alfred Molina, Rebecca De Mornay. It's based on Agatha Christie.
My favorite one. Dr. Cox from Scrubs.
Who's that?
What's his name? John Mc. What's his name? Oh, I know what his name is, and now it's like right on the tip of my tongue, and I'm gonna miss it. Thanks a lot.
It's not on my list here. Oh,
well. Anyway, he's in there too.
But it's based on an Agatha Christie thing. Why wouldn't I love
it? Is it? I didn't know it was based on an Agatha Christie.
Yeah, 1939 whodunit, and then really? There were none.
I had no idea.
Have some ideas. We should cover this film.
Okay. All right. So we will add that to the list. Okay.
Well, and this is this is the stuff I love to think about and talk about, right? So if you're talking about horror, there's so many subgenres, if you want to believe those exist, of horror. I think we should really unpack that a little bit, because some of my most favorite movies exist in this, in a subgenre of horror.
Right. Well, let's do that then. So horror movies really became popular. I mean, Jaws was probably one of the first big blockbuster, like summer blockbuster movies. And I guess you could kind of count Jaws as a horror movie. But even if we put that one aside for the moment, when people think horror movies, they really typically think back to the 1980s when we had the creation of all of these different series with these kind of pseudo supernatural undead villains, such as Friday the 13th with Jason Voorhees, Freddy Krueger with Nightmare on Elm Street, Michael Myers, not to be confused with Mike Myers, in Halloween. We had a lot of horror movies, and then we had some like really, really bad ones too, Leprechaun and Critters and all kinds of stuff like that. Gremlins is kind of a Christmas horror movie.
Kind of, yeah.
But in its purest form, like, right, horror exists to exploit a person's insecurities, nightmares, fears, right? That is what that entertainment genre tends to do, right?
Right.
But it runs the gamut from the ultraviolet slasher, we're just going to get blood all over the screen for blood screen's sake, to the psychological, now we're really going to mess with your head stuff. And there might be zero blood in the really going to mess with your head stuff. But I argue that stuff can be more scary than the, oh, there's a little girl in the woods in the middle of the night and her boyfriend just dumped her and, oh, look, now she's dead.
Yeah. Yeah. So many horror movies are basically drinking games or checklists.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you have the classic, what we would call a slasher, right? Which seem to rely either on gore or on jump scares.
Yeah.
Then you have Nightmare on Elm Street, I think was the first one that was kind of a slasher, but a little bit more psychological in the sense that, you know, he kills you while you're dreaming and how do you combat that? How do you stay awake?
Yeah. I mean, the first one was like that, but then they quickly turned into just slasher movies.
Slasher movies.
Yeah. The second and third one, tolerable. Everything after that was laughable,
but I think not to derail the topic here, but in that particular type of movie, once the secret's out, it's just another horror movie. It's just another slasher film. You know,
I will say that the premise for the third one was interesting in the sense that the kids involved try to find a way to fight back.
Yeah.
And okay. So it was at least a little bit, I mean, it still wasn't a great movie, but at least a little bit of a different concept, different spin on it. I'll give them a little bit of props for that. But yeah, so you're right. So we've got the slasher, and then we've, you know, kind of the gore fest sort of thing. We have what recently was dubbed torture porn with the movies that started. I don't know that it started with Saw, but Saw was one of the big ones in that subgenre.
Yeah, Saw, Hostel. A few other ones like that. Yeah.
We've got some of the more heavily creepy ones, like what am I thinking of? The Ring.
Oh yeah, yep.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Grudge.
The Grudge, yeah.
Yeah, that was like that.
We've got some kind of cat and mouse kind of things that are not quite like the old 80s stuff, but a little closer, like Final Destination and.
Forgot about those.
Might be a stretch to consider it its own subgenre, but we have a little bit more of a combination between the whodunit and the slasher with things like Scream and I Know What You Did Last Summer. I really like Scream, actually, but more the whodunit aspect of it. Robin, you don't?
No, we're not doing that. No, 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 no.
Well, I didn't say that we're going to cover it for the podcast. I was just saying that, you know.
I think my audience needs to protect me from you too.
Now, wait a minute. I know a lot of people who like the first Scream movie.
Oh, yeah. The first Scream was a good horror flick in the fact that it wasn't overly gory. It wasn't overly just jump scare stuff.
It was a little bit meta. You know, it talked about horror movies and some of the tropes that are involved in it and tried to circumvent those to some extent while still honoring the genre. Mm-hmm. And the ending was, you know, there was a kind of a bit of a plot twist to it.
Yeah, it was definitely a unique take on them for it, you know, when it first came out.
Yeah. But it's okay, Robin. You don't have to like it.
I'm saying. Some of my favorite quote unquote horror might cross over into this, what we call this classic monster movies, because I love the stuff that's based on Edgar Allan Poe or Mary Shelley or Bram Stoker or sometimes Stephen King. Now, obviously 1408 is based on a Stephen King. Mm-hmm. So there are some Stephen King that I can live with and love. Mm-hmm. And there are some that I just absolutely refuse to watch.
Before we get back, the one I was saving for last is really more the psychological thriller type horror movie.
Right.
And when you mentioned Stephen King, Misery comes to mind, though probably more because of the book than the movie. But let's take this classic monsters thing for a moment, because I guess I said when people think of horror movies, they think of the 80s, but really horror movies have been around for a really, really long time since the advent of film. And a lot of those are still classics today. I have to admit, I'm really not that into those. I know, Robin, you are, and I believe Tim is as well.
Yeah, very much so. We are.
Yeah. Lou, what about you? Any affinity for the old classics?
Yeah, not really. I mean, I've seen them, but it's been a while. I'm kind of wondering, and after we talked about this a little bit on Random Chatter the other night with Tim and I, and he was talking about them again too. And I'm thinking to myself now since then, I'm like, maybe I should revisit some of them and just kind of see what they feel like, because I haven't watched them in a long time. And I was a kid when I think I first saw some of them, and you know, as a kid, older movies, you're always like, nah, whatever. It's not really what I want to see.
Right.
So maybe I should give some of the classics a try.
I will say the one classic series I would give a try would be the Abbott and Costello ones. And only because it's Abbott and Costello.
Well, yes, except that, yes. And the, you know, I teach this class and, I talk to my students about whether genre matters when it comes to a director's eye when they're, you know, directing a monster or creating the art around the monster. And so we do have a really nice conversation. We show Abbott and Costello's the one where all three monsters are there, Dracula, Frankenstein,
and the mummy?
And the werewolf.
Oh, okay.
No, the wolfman. And then we watch Kenneth Branagh's version of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. And the monsters are so completely different, right? So you get the Abbott and Costello with the classic Frankenstein with the square head and, you know, the bolts coming out, right? And and then you look at Kenneth Branagh's version of what Frankenstein looked, the monster, he doesn't actually ever call him Frankenstein, what the monster looks like and feels like and acts like. And it's like two different worlds coming together, right? And so you can really see the director's art there. Mm-hmm. And so in fact, on October 31st, when I teach my class, that is exactly what we're doing. We are watching both versions and, you know, we're going to have this conversation. And so I do think at some point it's worth going back to look at the classics, you know, Bram Stoker's Dracula that had Keanu Reeves in it, you know, black and white, Winona Ryder, Keanu Reeves, based truly on the novel. And then, you know, Looking at Abbott and Costello's version of Dracula, and then looking at some of the other versions that have come out, they're different. And I love that you can get such breadth and depth out of a single, you know, a single mythic, right? Mythopoetic narrative there.
Right.
And so, that's like what we do here in the fall, is we tend to rewatch all of those things, and just sort of get ourselves into the season by moving ourselves through some of the older black and whites that were sort of clunky, where, you know, you can see the bat flying on the bat flying around with the
string.
Yeah. Versus, you know, something very modern with all the technology behind it, where, you know, it's a little bit more seamless.
I guess I would be willing to give that a try. It's not my thing. I mean, I like to think that I could appreciate the quality of it, and then I could find something interesting in it, something that compelled me to like it and enjoy it. And that's probably the case. But inherently, I don't have any interest in it. It would take some prodding and some cajoling, I think, to get me to watch something like that. I just have never really had any affinity for any of that sort of classic. Like The Invisible Man, there was a remake, I want to say in the early 90s or something, was it? When is it? Kevin Bacon or something?
Oh, yeah, Hollow Man.
Hollow Man, that's right. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
I remember seeing that, and I thought it was okay at the time. Yeah. And they're doing an Invisible Man remake now, and I wasn't interested in it until I read a little bit more about it, and now I'm thinking, okay, that sounds like it might be an interesting spin on it. But I just never really got into Frankenstein and Dracula and the Mummy and the monster side of things. And that includes even more recent things, like, you know, the recent Swamp Thing TV series on DC Universe and things like that.
Yeah,
not really my thing. Lou, what about you, though? I mean,
I'm thinking as we're talking, I'm kind of looking through different sites and seeing, you know, movies that are standouts in the horror genre. And and to me, I'm agreeing with a lot of the ones I'm seeing here. And a lot of them are stuff that's not really about the gore, but more about the story, like, you know, The Shining, or ones that were a game changer, like Nightmare on Elm Street. We talked about that already. It was a game changer for how they do these horror movies. It wasn't just a jump scare slasher, but it was like, you're watching, like, are they dreaming or not? Where are we? You know, it was that kind of thing. You had to really think about it. And those are ones to me that really are the payoff.
Yeah.
You know, things like The Omen, things like The Exorcist, that to me are kind of classic older movies, but they have more to them than just straight face value what they're showing on the screen.
You know, one of the movies that I had forgotten about until just a few minutes ago, kind of along the lines of 1408, where you're relying on just one or two people to carry most of the movie. I love movies that are done well that have just one or two actors. That is The Fly with Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, yeah.
Which I still insist is the best Jeff Goldblum movie ever. And who else was in it? Gina Davis?
Yes, I think.
And for the most part, it was just the two of them throughout the whole film. And I really thought it was a strong movie. Like, it was kind of a horror movie, but the psychological nature of what was going on was so interesting. I didn't even think of it as a horror movie at the time.
Yeah. I mean, there was the whole thing of how his personality, not just him physically changing into the fly, which is what the original movie did from back in whenever that was. But his psyche was changing. He was acting more like a fly, not just physically transforming, but acting more like a fly.
Right.
You know, his mannerisms, the way he positioned himself, what he did. You're right. That was a huge change in these movies for that.
I mean, it's interesting. It's billed as a science fiction piece, but it's like, it actually says it's science fiction horror. And, and that is a sub genre is interesting because you can catch a lot of things in that genre.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at Aliens, that is absolutely considered, a horror movie and a sci-fi movie and one of the best modern of each, really.
Yep. Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, that subgenre is probably one of my favorites in horror. Mm-hmm. You've got Aliens, The Thing, The Fly. These are all movies that have that sci-fi element to them because it's kind of high tech and futuristic. And yet there's some really scary stuff going on.
Yeah.
So for me, I like I invite the monsters into my house in the fall because they're a little bit distant and I can appreciate them for what they are, right? They are bodies. They are living. They can be hurt, destroyed, killed. The psychological horror is very much more difficult for me as a human to encounter because I can imagine my mind going with the mind of the main character, the protagonist or the antagonist, and I can imagine losing myself there. And that is the scariest part for me. That's where the monsters under my bed turn into things that I can't slay.
Yeah.
And that's why I woke my husband up very early.
I love that. I love that you watched 1408 and he ended up losing sleep as a result.
He did.
That makes me so happy. You have no idea. I feel so fulfilled right now.
And now I know that he actually really does love me because he didn't get mad. He just was there. Very stoic.
That is awesome. We love you, Tim. So I'm looking through RottenTomatoes.com and their list of a top 100 horror movies. Now we're going to break out of the genre a little bit to bounce around here, and I'm sure we'll come back to the genre again. But some items of note here. Let's see, King Kong from 1933. I guess I never really looked at the original King Kong or any of the King Kongs really as horror movies. But for 1933, I guess it was.
I guess.
So,
and you're right, though, Eric, that those kind of like the monster movies don't really like that and Godzilla don't. They're not like horror movies to me, but to some people they are.
Yeah, the whole, the Godzilla and Mothra, Gamera, all those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Psycho from 1960. One of the most classic films of all time. Oh. And I will admit the fact that I've never gotten through the entire movie in one sitting just because it's old and I've seen so many bits and pieces of it broken up over the years that, like, I have the whole thing as a mosaic and I can't just sit down and watch it now. It's like, it's broken to me. So. Yeah. Kind of sad.
It's Hitchcock. You have to.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really embarrassed at how unfamiliar I am with a lot of Hitchcock's stuff. And I appreciate what I've seen from his eye as a director, I just haven't cared much for the movies themselves, like the stories, I guess. That's what makes Hitchcock difficult for me.
I like some of his, I guess you would call it like a whodunit type of, it's not horror. It's
the mystery.
It's a psychological. Sort of thing. Yeah. Mystery, yeah. So, you know, Rear Window.
Yeah, definitely.
Strangers on a Train. I mean, I like those.
Yes, I agree emphatically with that. Those would be more my things instead of things like The Birds, Psycho, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what else do we have? It Follows from 2015 is pretty high on the list here. Let the Right One In from 2008. I assume they're talking about the foreign version, not the Americanized version. Night of the Living Dead, classic zombie movie.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Halloween, Silence of the Lambs. Another one I don't really think of as a horror movie as much as I think of it as a psychological thriller.
Yeah, I agree.
And I won't watch it.
Oh, really? Have you not seen it?
Won't see it, never seen it. Can't make me.
I ask why that is?
Yeah, my question too.
Again, you can't get things that get in my head. I have the most vivid imagination on this planet. And once something gets in my head and then it's quiet in the house, my imagination just goes with it. And yeah.
So does that hold true for all kind of mystery, not horror, but killer movies? Like, you know, I'm trying to think of what you'd put that into for a category, but
so
I don't consider horror either.
Are you going to watch Us?
Yeah, I'm going to watch it in the daytime.
In the daytime. Okay.
Well, but, all right. But like, here's the difference. Like, I used to hate Fight Club because I never understood it. I thought it was just a guy's movie. But then when I sat down and watched it, I realized that I hated Fight Club because, oh my God, this is the externalization of an internal schism.
Right.
Right. And then it became so frightening to me. I can't watch Fight Club.
Oh, wow. I love psychological things going on in Fight Club.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. As to talk about it, like, I'm glad I forced myself to sit through it, but now I'm just like, I'll never watch it again because I can put myself in that man's place. And the externalization of all of my internal fears scares the crap out of me.
So I was about to ask, like, Silence of the Lambs, Lou, I don't know if you'd agree with me on this or not, but were you scared by Silence of the Lambs? I didn't find it scary necessarily.
No, I mean, there was definitely some creepy elements to it.
Creepy,
but nothing that scared me. Right, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's an FBI agent hunting down a serial killer.
Who's not creepiest crumb?
Well, yeah, he's messed up in the head, but it's not like it. I mean, it wasn't gory. It wasn't. I definitely didn't see it as a horror movie. So right, yeah. I guess, Robin, it sounds like it's not so much whether it's scary for you or not, but whether the characters are psychologically disturbed enough in a realistic and relatable way that then gets you kind of creeped out inside your own head and makes you not want to watch it. Is that closer to what it is, or is it truly a fear factor?
No, exactly. No, okay, that is exactly what it is.
Okay. Well, let me throw another movie out there for you then. Another really popular classic, you know, modern classic horror movie. Or more of a thriller movie, Seven. Have you seen it? Do you want to see it? Would you see it if you haven't?
I think I saw it. Seven?
Yeah, Brad Pitt, Morgan Freeman.
Brad Pitt, yep. Seven Deadly Sins, and the killer is using the sins
plays the villain.
I want to say I've seen it.
And I mean, you know, in that movie, there is creepy as anything to me. Very good movie, you know, very... keeps you on the edge of your seat the first time you see it.
Is the villain relatable? Because
I'm kind of equating it to what, like, she was just saying with drawing blank, the last movie we talked about.
Silence of the Lambs?
Silence of the Lambs, yeah. Yeah. I mean, this to me is the same kind of a feel because it's a killer we're tracking down, very creepy.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but again, you can slay this guy, right?
Right.
If I become the outward embodiment of all of my internal fears, dark spaces, awful meanness, if I externalize all of that, that is the part that freaks me out because there but for the grace of whoever is up there, go I. right? Yeah. And it is only from my perspective, growing up as a deep Catholic, as I tend to call us, something else sort of takes over, and you can't help yourself but to become that person. And that is what kind of freaks me out, is when a seemingly normal looking person can like do horrible things that you can't control. Right. And so those kind of horror movies, really get under my skin, and it takes me days to shake that loose. My poor hubby thinks that just because I'm 24 hours out from watching 1408, he's going to have a blissful night's sleep. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He's so cute.
If it's going to be two nights in a row, you just made my week. So I guess for me, Silence of the Lambs is more disturbing because Hannibal Lecter, the movie makes you kind of relate to him, like you get him, and the filmmakers get you inside his head. With Seven, you see the characters, the protagonists, trying to get inside the killer's head. But as the audience, you never really get there until the end. And then what you get at the end, I mean, I hate to say it's shallow. The movie itself is not shallow. But the movie is about the protagonists. And I guess to me, with Seven, Kevin Spacey's character doesn't really, like, what occurs creeps me out. But like, when, by the time we get to the end, I just, it's like, oh, okay, so he's the guy. And, you know, and the events creep me out. And I get more inside the head of Brad Pitt.
Yeah. Mm.
Well,
but but likewise in Silence of the Lambs, I'm more inside of what's her name's head?
Clarice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because to me, you know, Hannibal Lecter isn't the bad guy in that movie. He's just there.
But right. He's the creepy part. Like, to me, the bad guy in the movie isn't even all that interesting or that. I mean, he's creepy in like a kind of a ew, dude. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with this guy? Not I don't want to go to sleep tonight kind of creepy. Like, it's a different type of creepy. It's a gross creepy.
Down the well. Yeah.
And not a, you know, a nightmare creepy. I don't know.
Fair enough.
Well, let's move on to another one on the list here that is one of my personal favorites. I think Lou has seen it, and I think he likes it, and I don't know whether Robin has. I really enjoy Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. You get that cross-genre thing. You get the horror movie. And I'm so done with zombies. Even as a Walking Dead fan, for me, it's more the post-apocalyptic environment and the humans trying to survive it. I could care less about that. Like, anytime the zombies come on screen, I'm like, oh, okay, fast forward. Like, I just want the post-apocalyptic side of things. I want the humans versus the humans, or the humans versus environment, or whatever. But Shaun of the Dead is another one of those where you get that cross-pollination of this kind of goofball, fish-out-of-water comedy thing, guy who can't handle a relationship, best friend who's a bumbling
idiot. It's a horror
movie
for us. You can put yourself in that role because it's not, like, over-the-top. You know, acting of who they are and what they're doing, what they're going through. It's like, if this happened today, this is what it would be like if this really did happen.
Robin, please tell me you like Shaun of the Dead.
No.
Well, you know, I'll say this. I like 2/3 of Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It's okay.
The first 2/3 were awesome, and it just kind of lost its way.
It's not the best movie in the world. I'm not trying to paint it as a, you know, but it's fun.
But I'm not into zombie movies.
Well, I'm not either. Like, I'm really not.
I mean, I watched The Walking Dead up until 2 seasons or 3 seasons ago, and then I just went yawn.
Well, some of the early seasons were pretty bad, especially
The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the early seasons.
I love the early seasons. For me, I stopped watching it.
Yeah.
Is Don't Breathe the one that I'm thinking of where Let me pull it up. Yes. Okay. I'm guessing you guys haven't seen this. Don't Breathe, if I recall correctly, is a movie where this girl looks maybe early college aged or so, a single mother trying to get away from her, I guess, abusive family or something like that out on her own, has some friends who like to go robbing places and stuff. And I guess this neighborhood's kind of run down and people are moving out and it's kind of being abandoned. And there's one house left that they want to go rob. And this is kind of like this final score thing where this is her ticket out of her bad situation. And the house is occupied, but it's occupied by a war veteran, a really old guy, and he's blind. So they're like, well, this is a no-brainer. I mean, obviously we can get in and get out. And it turns out that even though this guy is blind, like, he's really on top of his game. And they kind of get trapped inside, and he's like, you know, they're breaking into my house. I'm going to defend myself. I'm going to kill him. And things just kind of spiral out of control from there. Have either of you seen it?
No, I don't even remember this movie.
This came out, I want to say it was 2016. Mm-mm. Let me get, 2016. It's pretty recent.
Yeah, I don't remember even hearing about this. Okay.
I would recommend the trailer. It's Mm-mm. got, I think, let me pull it up on IMDb because I'm going to get the actor's name wrong and that's really going to bug
me.
Yeah,
I just pulled it up. Stephen Lang.
Stephen Lang. I was going to say the guy from Avatar.
Is the blind guy. Yep.
And does a great job.
I don't know why I've never even heard of this. I'll have to watch the trailer and check this out.
I would recommend it. And again, horror movies aren't my thing, but this is another one of those things where it's more psychological thriller, more cat and mouse. It's not gory. Okay. I think there are jump scares in it, but we're not talking Freddy Krueger, Jason Voorhees. We're talking like this could literally happen next door to you.
Okay.
Oh. No,
next door to you, Robin. You live out in like a rural area. You're fine.
Yeah, like a really rural farm area. Like, you know, nothing. Oh, wait, you live in farm. Never mind.
Children of the Corn.
You know, as I'm looking at this and seeing other movies, it says more like this comes up in IMDb. One of the things for me about a horror movie is there's got to be some kind of a non-realistic or supernatural element to it to make it a horror movie. Because like I listened to you talk about this movie, Don't Breathe, and while it's a thriller and it seems scary and it'll be interesting to watch, it's just regular people. You know what I mean? It's not like there's some other element that is mystical or can't be explained. You know, that to me, I guess, is the added element for a horror movie that makes things a horror movie for me.
Okay. See, and that's a good question. Yeah, Robin, go ahead.
See, no, and we're going to get into this big time next week. Audience, put a pin in this. There's a difference between a supernatural, and let's define that. Supernatural is just what cannot be seen with our normal human eyes, right? They can't be explained. Mm-hmm. The imposition of, let's just say, an alien life form. And so there's a schism for me in these genres that I don't know that I can explain really well. You know, a tree becoming a murderous entity is scarier for me than an alien light being or energy being in, you know, being inserted into my body. You know what I mean?
Let me just go. You're done, Robin?
Yeah. No, I'm done.
Okay. So
you're staring at me.
And I think we're on the same page because, I mean, to me, the alien thing and the supernatural thing we can't explain is I'm kind of lumping them together because to me, it is something that is not natural, something that's not reality. I mean, having a xenomorphic alien come down here and gestate in somebody's stomach is different than you know, the creepy guy down the street that's killing 1,000 people. You know, it, they're both scary for different reasons, but one to me is a horror movie and one is not. One's a murder mystery, one's a psychological thriller. And likewise, you know, like I'm thinking like Christine, you know, it's a car that is possessed or whatever. You know, it's got some supernatural, non-realistic element to it that makes me go, you can't explain that. And it kind of creeps me out. You know, it gives me the heebie-jeebies.
So I guess the way I define it is a little bit different because to me, Cujo, which is a completely believable, I mean, you've got a dog with rabies. There's nothing supernatural about that.
Okay. Yeah.
To me,
yeah,
that's right. Still a horror movie. So to me, it's more about the protagonists being stuck in a situation where they're fighting for their survival and almost certainly cannot win. And I'm not saying that defines horror movies. I'm saying that is also a horror movie. So to me, things like Don't Breathe, nothing supernatural about that one. But to me, it still qualifies as a horror movie because it's the level of intensity that's going on there is you're always fearful that the main characters aren't going to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like a mystery movie where there is a murder, because I mean, in real life, a murder, that's a big deal. That's like involve the FBI and, you know, go hunting door to door. Like it's a big thing. In a movie, you know, a single murder is not a horror movie, but if people are dropping left and right like flies, then it's a little different. To me, that's something that's a little bit bigger than life. But even then, like I said, go back to something like Cujo or Misery. Nothing supernatural about Misery. You've just got this woman who's psychotic. I think to me that there is a psychological horror aspect that does not have to be supernatural.
Okay. Yeah. You mentioned Cujo and I'm immediately going, I'm agreeing with you. Yeah. But it's kind of funny because I'll look at Jaws kind of the same way. I don't think of Jaws as a horror movie per se. Cujo, no. I do, you know, but
I don't see Jaws as a horror movie either. But at the time, people stopped going to beaches.
Sure.
They saw it as a horror movie back then. So
yeah, no, you're right.
By today's standards, I mean, heck, you see the shark for what, like 17 seconds in the film or something? I mean, you know, whatever.
right.
But back then, that was a big deal. So,
I mean, this is very interesting to me. So you've got things like Get Out, right? Get Out is very scary to me because I think it can happen. Like, I think people could actually try to do this, right? And I think that eventually science can get there, which freaks me out. Cujo, not so much. Yeah.
In the sense that it could happen or that it... Because I have to say, I think you're being a little bit generous with science on the Get Out thing. But that's okay. But Cujo doesn't get you there because it's not scary or because it's not believable or
there's just you have to suspend disbelief. You know, I go into a 1408 and I don't have to suspend disbelief for very long before I'm like, oh my God, that could totally happen.
But Cujo, something that probably literally has happened somewhere, you have a hard time believing that one.
Yeah, I do.
I mean, I don't want to cite the different things in 1408 right now and spoil it for people, but you're okay with, but a rabid dog, totally unbelievable. Old Yeller was just the most crazy of fantasies. Lord of the Rings has nothing on Old Yeller, let me tell you.
God, I love you too. So Misery for me was way more scary.
Yeah.
Way more scary.
I agree, but I think Cujo wasn't a good movie. Like there's the book for Cujo was good, but I mean a lot of Stephen King's movies, especially the older ones, have not been that great. The Shining notwithstanding.
Yeah, I mean, Cujo back when I saw it in the 80s, whenever it came out, was not that great.
Yeah.
I never read the book. Misery, on the other hand, I didn't think the movie was that great, but the book was phenomenal. The book
was incredible.
Oh, yeah. Scared you that. But Jesus.
Yeah.
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 I actually had to stop reading Stephen King's books because I stopped sleeping at some point. I went through that teenage.
That's so ironic. I had to stop reading Stephen King's books because they kept putting me to sleep. So I read Misery, and then right after that, which I loved because, again, you've got two characters who are carrying the entire story on their backs. And then I went straight from there to Tommyknockers, where he spent the first third of the book introducing every single little character.
I've never gotten
the
through Tommyknockers.
Oh my God.
I've never gotten through that either. No.
I've tried it three or four times, never got through it.
Falling asleep each time, I bet.
So here's some stuff we haven't talked about, right? Mm-hmm. So like The Purge. The Purge freaks me out to no end. Right?
I still have not seen it.
Oh.
I want to.
Don't. Oh.
I don't think I've ever seen an entire Purge movie either, but
I have because my partner likes them. they freak me out because there is a part of me that is I believe that the universe bends towards justice and that humans are inherently good, but you know, I do think that there's a breaking point for humans and then they're beyond. You know, they're beyond the veil, right? And for me, that's what happened with The Purge, right? Humans just got pushed to the point of,
right?
And I think that's where a lot of my most scary movies go to, right? I can't go into a corn maze anymore. Because I've seen way too many movies where just horrible things happen when you can't see over the top of the corn. I'm from the Midwest.
That's funny.
So is that where they build the baseball park and they come and play? I mean, that was a fun movie, right? That was.
I can't do corn mazes either.
Kevin Costner is not,
because,
you know.
Oh, sorry.
The bugs and the, you know, that scratches up against your arms as you're trying to cut through the, like, because the maze part just gets obnoxious. So you just kind of cut through the walls of the corn and just push the corn out of the way to get just out.
I can't farm market and buy a dozen ears of corn and put them on the grill. I mean.
I like you too? Because I'm starting to change my mind.
Yeah, we have that effect.
Yeah.
So,
but then something like Carrie is like completely innocuous for me.
Yeah, me too.
It's been so long since I've seen Carrie. I don't remember my reaction to it.
Prom queen, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it does. You know, it was.
I was apathetic to that movie.
Yeah. I don't. It doesn't have a real good impression on me either. So I'm like, I couldn't really speak to it.
Yeah. Well. Let me ask you about another subgenre before we start to close out here. And that is non-scary Halloween movies. Now, this
like Hocus Pocus?
Like Hocus, you know, I'm so tired of hearing about Hocus Pocus. I've tried to watch that. I've gotten a few minutes into it on several different. I have a hard time watching the trailer for it. I just can't. I can't. But Hocus Pocus is like the ultimate pinnacle of Halloween movies, apparently. Or so I'm repeatedly told every 5 minutes, including today at work, in fact.
My partner loves Hocus Pocus. I can't figure him out at all.
I have never seen Hocus Pocus.
Well, I haven't either. I can't.
I can't take it.
It never really held any big appeal to me.
Bette Midler and Debbie Harry.
Or Jessica Parker.
Jessica Parker. Yep.
I never actually wanted to see this back when it was
1993.
Oh, 93. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Hocus Pocus just came up on my feed. Oh my God. This is scary. What other kinds of movies are you thinking about there?
Okay, so I'm just going to spew out a list here. Okay, so, and this includes things like kids' movies, too. So we've got Nightmare Before Christmas, which is a classic that people watch both at Halloween and at Christmas, which, from a marketing point of view, brilliant Tim Burton. We've got Nightmare Before Christmas. We've got Hotel Transylvania. We've got Monster House. We have... Oh, boy. I mean, you could go into things like Frankenweenie or Casper, the Friendly Ghost, or Beetlejuice was kind of a comedy slash horror movie.
Beetlejuice is the first movie in that list. I'm going, okay, yeah, I've seen that and wanted to see it and saw it recently.
Other ones, and some of the others I'm talking about are more for kids, but it's typically around that Halloween time. The Corpse Bride, Ernest Scared Stupid, if you remember the old Ernest Goes to Camp movies, right?
Oh, good Lord.
The Addams Family, Practical Magic, if you want to get into something that's a little more grown up. What else do we have here? Young Frankenstein, Monster Squad, the Huffalump movie, the Winnie the Pooh and the Huffalump. I remember showing my son that when he was young and I thought, okay, it's a Winnie the Pooh movie. Who cares? And for little kids, that movie is creepy. Oh,
that's scary. Yeah.
It's a little bit creepy.
Yeah.
So one thing I want to add to this list that I think legitimately is a good movie is Coraline. Which, if I recall correctly, if it's the one I'm thinking of, this was from 2009, and it's a stop-motion movie. And it's based on a story written by Neil Gaiman, I believe.
Yep, he wrote the book.
Okay. And it was surprisingly good. I mean, it's not an award-winning movie, but... for something that's kind of designed maybe for older kids and something that is family friendly enough while still maintaining a pretty creepy element to it, it was really good.
Never saw.
Never seen it?
Nope. Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. Okay.
But so let me ask you guys a question. Uh-huh. So when you think of Halloween, do you think of horror movies? Like, for me, fall is the time of the year when I need to get out all the blankets. You know, it starts raining here in the Northeast. It gets very damp. We want to just snuggle up and just watch something that is neither jarring nor too much of laughability. Like, you just want to curl up and watch something comforting. And so for me, that's where some of these classic monster movies, the things that are, you know, sort of Halloween-y get to, right? Because Halloween is about, yes, witches and all those things, but it's getting back to nature. Right? Nature's changing. Everything's changing. No. We're changing. No, we're not.
We're changing. But see, to me, I get what you're saying.
We're changing hosts.
That was good.
Got rid of me, folks.
I'll give you points for that one. No, I see what you're saying. And I agree with the fact that it's kind of the time of, like, the season is kind of that. But to me, Halloween itself has always been specifically about celebrating and to me, it's always been kind of a kid's holiday, but celebrating the spooky and the supernatural and, you know, the stuff that would scare you any other time of the year. It's kind of your opportunity to conquer that and to embrace it and play along as if you're part of that as a way to kind of control it and own it. And again, the candies and stuff. Like, to me, Halloween is all about the Reese's peanut butter cups. But that's a whole different. And my annual Halloween rant, which I love. I won't make you guys suffer through it here. But
I can't wait to hear it.
So the short version is, I don't think I should be responsible for financing the local kids' sugar habit out of my own pocket. Encouraging them to go around and beg from door to door while I have to go out and drop $60 on. If I'm going to drop $60 on candy, I'm eating the dang peanut butter cups, period.
I live in a rural area. I don't have to worry about that at all. Zero children.
Really long driveway. Nobody comes down my driveway.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, I guess to me, to what you were saying, Robin, I guess I like curling up and watching a comforting movie throughout the months of November and December. But October for me, I guess, is the one time where a lot of the marketing does tend toward the horror movies. And you typically, not always, and it's been changing, but traditionally you've gotten better quality horror movies during that period of the year because the studios save them for that time of the year. And not so much the case anymore. But I guess because it's just so ubiquitous, I've always seen, and I'm not into horror movies, but I've always seen October as kind of that. You get into the pumpkins until you get into the like the local fall festivals and the pumpkin patches and the corn mazes and the haunted houses. And that's like my movie watching has always just been more either watch whatever I want to watch, or if I have to watch horror movies, we watch horror movies. The comfort snuggly in the cold, wet, damp thing and get the hot chocolate and put a log on the fireplace sort of thing, to me, comes immediately after that. It gets into Thanksgiving. That's when the fall really kicks in, is more November to me. October to me is still kind of, okay, we're starting to get into fall.
Yeah. Okay.
Lou, what about you, though? What's your take on kind of the seasonal emotional connection there?
I'm kind of the same as you. I think that the snuggle up kind of feel good movies are more of November. And while I'm not a big horror movie fan, I do appreciate certain horror movies in you know, a certain genre of them. Mm-hmm. You know, I will look forward to watching even some of the cheesy ones from the 80s. I'll watch Hellraiser, or, you know, I have a thing for Cube and Hypercube. I don't know why, but I do.
Oh my gosh. To me, Cube, you know. Well, yeah, I guess it's a horror movie, but again, it's another one of those science fiction. I didn't like the second Cube one, but Cube Zero I thought was good.
Yeah, I think I remember Cube Zero. That was the kind of the prequel one on the first generation.
Where you're watching the guys in the control room.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so I will, while I don't make a steady diet of horror movies, I do tend to pop one in occasionally this time of year and enjoy being a little nervous.
Yeah. I'll make you nervous.
You always make us nervous, Robin.
You do.
And I bet Tim's going to be nervous going to bed tonight.
Tim is going to be nervous going to bed tonight.
Yes. Robin, have you ever seen Cube?
No, I haven't. That's why the puzzled look on my face.
Cube is an independent film, a Canadian film that was created as part of a film festival for a budget of like $10. Not literally. But it was so inexpensive that there was one effects shot that was CG near the end of the movie, and they actually got it donated to them by a local university or some organization of some sort. So we're talking very low budget, but it is a psychological, I don't know if it's a psychological thriller.
I'm looking it up right now.
It's a very psychologically heavy movie.
Yeah. The first one I saw was Hypercube.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. I saw Cube after the fact.
So Cube is 1997. It's actually is a drama, mystery, sci-fi thriller. Okay.
Really? I mean, that's kind of that's how many categories can we get our movie in?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I mean, mystery sci-fi, I'll give it that.
Didn't it have Michael Rapaport in it? I think that was one of his.
Did it?
I thought it did.
Writers, all if cast and crew.
Did it was one of his first movies.
There were seven people in the cast, so no.
Only at the beginning. So you should watch that one, Robin. Maybe that's another one we should cover.
Okay, as long as my hubby can sleep, sure.
yeah, he'll be fine.
Sure, he'll be fine. Yeah, why not? He'll be okay.
That's the new litmus test.
Yes, I think we should test as many movies as we can, Lou. Yeah. All right. Oh, so awesome. Before we wrap up, though, I do want to go back to this. Sure. Are there any Halloween, but not really horror movies that you guys enjoy? Like, for example, Nightmare Before Christmas, to me, yeah, it's a Halloween movie. No, it's not scary at all. But I guess I'm not even really that much of a fan of it per se, but.
I mean, I'll put Beetlejuice in that category.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because it's, sure. to me, it's not scary, but it's Halloween-esque because it deals with those kind of topics. Okay. It's fun. You know, anytime you have Batman in a stripey outfit for.
Wow.
Who's this Beetlejuice character? What?
All right. You know what? Hmm. I'm just going to put this out there. The Great Pumpkin.
Okay. Hey, that mm-hmm. is a tradition to watch yep. that for a lot of people every year at Halloween.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Got to.
Yep.
You guys are going to hate me. And it's a horror movie, but it's also a Halloween specific movie. I like Scream.
I like Scream.
Just saying. It's a little outside of what I was asking for in that question, but I, yeah. Mm.
Right. Yeah, I also go to The Simpsons Treehouse of Horror. Is that what they call it?
Yes.
Those are awesome. Movie chatter.
Those are awesome.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Their Halloween things are great.
Consistently.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
We talked about this before, but the classic stuff, I mean, Robin mentioned Edgar Allan Poe. His stuff is fantastic. And I'll go to stuff like The Pit and the Pendulum, that kind of stuff is just, you know, those kind of classic movies to me are.
Yeah, if it's more psychological. Speaking of television, have either of you watched Community?
Mm-mm. No.
Community had one of my favorite Halloween episodes, and it's kind of a spin on the zombie thing, but it's really not. And it's hilarious. So just wanted to throw that out there.
I just saw something bizarre. So I you know, The Pit and the Pendulum was a favorite movie of mine with who's I'm trying to get who's in that. Vincent Price.
Okay.
From 61 was the date. But when I put it into IMDb, there was a 1991 remake with Lance Hendrickson. I'm like, really?
Ooh.
I never heard of this.
I don't remember that.
I don't think I want to see it, but maybe.
Why not?
I don't know. Something made in 91 from a classic movie just seems awful.
Wow.
Stuff from the 90s was kind of cheesy, and for horror stuff.
A lot of it was, yeah.
That's what worries me. I don't know. Mm. It's a horror romance.
Well,
all right, forget it.
I'm sold.
Forget it.
Sign me up. Yeah.
You can get Lizzie to come in and cover it then.
There you go.
I think the first one was kind of the same way. No, drama, horror, mystery. Okay.
Oh my God, a horror romance. That's like my worst nightmare right there.
What was it? One where the girl falls in love with the guy who's a zombie or something. There was a horror movie.
I'm not watching it, Eric. I don't
remember the name of it. It was like a teenager kind of goofball sort of movie. It was meant as a comedy, but. Oh my gosh, The Addams Family. I forgot all about that one.
Oh, The Addams Family.
When did that movie come out? 1991.
Oh, what was the vampire type movie with, it was a comedy from the 80s.
Dark Shadows. That's way earlier.
The one with Jim Carrey?
Jim Carrey. Yeah, Jim Carrey.
Once Bitten.
Yep.
I remember that movie, yeah.
I remember that now, yeah.
And it was Fright Night. And there were a lot of vampire movies from back then. That was before the zombies really hit.
Yeah, except I know this is movie chatter, but I got to tell you, we watch What We Do in the Shadows.
I was about to mention that. Well, it's a movie, too.
I love that. That is true. That is true.
I have not seen either the movie or the TV series. I own the movie, and I just haven't watched it.
Is sister.
Yeah.
I probably need to watch the movie because the TV series is hysterical, and it reminds me of Dark Shadows.
Yeah.
From when I was growing up. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, any other thoughts on horror movies or Halloween movies before we wrap things up here? I'm adding What We Do
I'll throw out next week.
Yeah, next week will be fun.
Yeah.
One more creepy one that's a psychological type one. Mm-hmm. Dead Ringers.
Oh, yeah.
Jeremy Irons.
Jeremy Irons. Yeah.
Yeah. That was good.
Creepy.
Yeah.
That was.
That one tends to affect women more than men, too, but I'll just throw that out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one. That's a Stephen King. Right?
Stephen King wrote that?
Oh, that's right.
I think he did. That's a Stephen King.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
I think that is true. Yeah.
Two identical twins, gynecologists. Yeah.
Yep.
Doctors. Yeah. But mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, the writing credits for the movie show, David Cronenberg and Norman Snyder. Well,
but they might have written the screenplay adaptation of.
But it says the book was from Barry Wood and Jack Gleason.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I
could have sworn that was a Stephen King. Oh, well.
And see, I could have sworn it was too movie. When you mentioned it. Oh, well. Okay, well, tune in next week. Because you have homework as well, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to watch 1408. And as a bonus, you might want to check out Dark City. Now, a couple of real quick things here. Dark City came out in 1998. And 1408 came out in 2007. There are theatrical cuts and director's cuts of each. Let's see, Dark City. The theatrical cut has narration by one of the characters throughout part of the film. The director's cut does not. Otherwise, I don't think there's a whole lot of differences. I'd say probably go with the director's cut on Dark City if you can. However, 1408, I will warn you that the theatrical cut has a slightly happier ending. The director's cut has a slightly darker ending. Feel free to choose whichever you want. But if you have to pick one of the two to watch, definitely pick 1408. Especially since we're going to be talking about Tim's loss of sleep. In fact, maybe we should have Tim on the episode. Did Tim watch the movie with you?
No.
Oh.
I watched it by myself. I started it at work. I finished it at home and yeah.
Maybe we should.
Oh, now I'm not
gonna
sleep again. Oh, you guys are.
You don't have an alarm clock that's like the one in the.
Stop! Don't. I'm gonna tell on you.
We've only just begun. That's probably a trademark infringement. There, we're probably gonna yank from the internet. Yeah.
Don't spoil it for Lou.
Yeah, Lou, watch it.
I can't wait.
All right.
Turn all the lights off.
1408, Dark City. What else did we say we have? Identity and Shaun of the Dead.
Zombieland.
Yep. And Zombieland.
Shaun of the Dead.
And Shaun of the Dead. Zombieland. There was one other.
The Jedi mind trick does not work on
me.
Oh,
Cube.
Cube.
Yep.
Okay. Check those out. The clock is ticking. It's already October 8th as of this recording. You got to hurry up and watch those by Halloween. That is your goal, your homework, if you will. And we are going to come back next week and go over those movies. So I suppose I should pull up some sort of show notes here and get like credits and stuff. And oh, well, I don't have it handy. So the music you hear in this podcast is not something we've created. So check the show notes on the website for the music credits. Man, I am just failing at this today. Check out randomchatter.com for more great podcasts. Hey, you know what? We are on Spotify now. We have a network feed for the Random Chatter Network on Spotify. We will be adding feeds for each one of the shows on the network as well. So if you are a Spotify user, be sure to add us to your Spotify playlists. And that will be a great way to listen to us. Let your friends know, too, not just about the fact that we're on Spotify, but about movie chatter in general and the fact that we are going to be focusing on horror movies, especially horror movies, maybe for people who aren't that into horror movies for the month of October. So spread the word and share us with all of your friends and on social media and hop into Discord. Hang out with us. As you're watching these movies, head into the Movie Chatter channel on Discord and let us know what you thought. Okay? You can get to that by going to randomchatter.com/Discord. The app is free. Getting into the server is free. And we would love to hear from you. Now, if you want to help support the network, even just $1 a month goes a big way to helping us out. That's a big help. You'd be surprised at how much you can help contribute to the network just through $1 a month. And doing that, donating any amount at all, gets you access to additional channels in the Discord server that we've opened up. As a special thank you to the people who help support the network. We have some other bonus perks there as well. We have a Behind the Curtain podcast that Lou, Tim, and I do, kind of give you a behind-the-scenes look at what goes on the network when nobody's looking. And we are so going to have to talk about Tim not getting any sleep next time.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely.
I have just heard from my comrade in the other room that he's snoring so loudly she can't hear the TV.
Wow. Oh. We can fix that, can't we?
Call it Tim out on the snoring. I love it.
Ask her how much I would have to bribe her.
I already asked her to tape it. I said, tape it or it didn't happen. She said, are you trying to get me killed?
No. Tell her to get a Sharpie. Tell her I will cover her medical expenses. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of Movie Chatter. Everybody, don't forget, check out those movies and then check out Movie Chatter next week. We will see you next time. Until then, take care and keep the chatter going.